RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And Mike Vrabel's first year leading the Pats, New England will be a part of the tournament. The Patriots clinch a playoff berth.
WEEI Football Sunday.
Good morning. Welcome in. It's Football Sunday here. WEEI. Christian Arcan, Ted Johnson, Chris Schein, Mego. We got Jackson back behind the glass. We got a big show here today as we get ready for the Patriots and the Jets to kick off at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Should be an interesting one here as the Patriots, after a long week of football. Does anyone else feel like this was like a bye week? There's been so much football this week. I feel like the Patriots haven't played in like a month.
I barely remember the Ravens game.
Honestly, like it feels like it was a long time ago, doesn't it?
It's
been so much football
in
between.
3 days of football, and plus nobody's had any bye weeks, so every team has played, which
Absolutely.
Has been unusual.
It certainly has been, and we will get all the ins and outs of the Patriots and the Ravens, even though it does feel like it was an awfully long time ago. A lot of takeaways from that game that we talked about over the course of the week, and that we'll revisit here, our thoughts on that game, on the Drake May comeback, and unfortunately where I want to start here today, which is not exactly a particularly happy place to start, but the fact that injuries have now, I think, put a damper on what should be a two-week party. I mean, really, this end of the season should have been the Patriots doing victory laps like Yaz going around Fenway Park high-fiving everybody. That's what this should have been. It should have been a big party where, you know, we saw a whole lot of the Pastronaut and backups and rookies and everybody else just sort of going out there and doing what they do. And instead, now you have just ever-growing pile of injuries that really seem like, with all the luck that they had with injuries this year, is now kind of the jig is up. Like, you know, the clock has struck midnight and everyone's turning back into pumpkins here. That's really unfortunate to have this be going on at this time. Mac Hollins going on IR is the most recent one. So I'm not down on these last 2 weeks, but I do feel like this isn't how I was expecting to go into it after they clinched. I was expecting them to clinch, and this was just going to be good vibes, good feelings, everybody happy all the time. Instead, now everybody's worried about the wide receivers, the defensive back, everybody. I mean, there's just injuries everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that had great injury luck the first half of the season, it's finally kind of catching up to them. And unfortunately, it's at a tough time. Like, luckily, these games aren't the most difficult, so some guys can rest, some guys can try and heal up before you try and make a playoff run. But when you see a guy like Mac Hollins go on IR, like, that's a major issue, because that means he's not even available to you until at the earliest the AFC Championship game, if you even get there. So seeing all these injuries is definitely unfortunate, but I mean, it's football at this point. You just kind of, it's a, what, a battle of attrition is how they call it. You just have to kind of fight through and hopefully come out the other side.
I think the Mac Hollins loss might be a little worse than people on the outside who are just looking at stats might consider it, because he does do a lot of the dirty work in that room. And he is a major blocking receiver. And I know there are people out there who are like, who cares, a receiver blocking?
It matters.
But he also offers such a different dimension of receiver compared to the other guys in that room. And for him to be on IR, and you can look at what that means if the Patriots make a deep playoff run, it sucks. Like, it's going to be a big loss.
AFC Championship game at the earliest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, that's brutal. And he's not only been a great, like, blocker and doing all the he's been your second-best receiver this year. Mm-hmm. You know, yards-wise, receptions-wise, like, he has been huge for you this year. And really, one of the biggest surprises on this whole team.
Well, and surging down the stretch, yeah, where guys like Kayshon Booty, unfortunately, have kind of faded, mm-hmm, where was really electric early in the season. And Matt Collins has really kind of picked up a lot of that. And so for him to suddenly be on the report is out and then be on the IR, it's just kind of throws cold water on a lot of the good vibes, as you were saying, Arcan.
Ted, can they survive this?
This is a bigger one than people realize, just to Mago's point. I think he, just like Steph Diggs, has kind of been the flag carrier for that wide receiver group. I think he's... His levity, the way he operates, is his personality, brings, I think, much-needed levity to this team. So that is going to be missing. I'm kind of surprised. Do we know exactly what the injury was?
Just abdomen.
Abdomen.
I mean, you can speculate. You've been in the locker rooms.
He finished the last game, as far as we know, right? So yeah, it had to be something he got in practice, which is...
Or something that's been underlying that has really inflamed.
Yep. So I guess the only... good side, the only silver lining this might be that we might get to finally see the guy that everybody's been wanting from day one. Chisholm.
Excuse me. Let me just say. Yes!
There you go.
Yes, Ted.
Mago's
this
one of those.
This is what I'm talking about.
Go.
Okay. Yeah. Get my boy Efty out there on offense. So don't hide him away on these kickoff returns. He wasn't even good at that in college.
And he flashed in preseason, right? I mean, he was one of the more... one of the receivers that actually showed us something in preseason, so we all got excited. I did too, because I just liked the way he was able to get open fast, right? And I thought Drake May needed fast solutions, so hopefully he'll get an opportunity to not return kicks, but to actually play receiver with Matt Collins being down.
Does it concern you at all that none of the receivers are over 6 feet tall now?
Yes, it does.
Not a single one.
Excuse me. Wait.
Stephon Diggs is exactly 6 feet.
Okay.
He's the tallest one.
That's his listed
on the roster
height.
Currently.
Okay. Well, maybe we just got to get him some taller cleats.
Maybe. I mean,
he's been a go-to guy in the third down, and he's also, I think, a very good, although they haven't highlighted him in the red zone, I think he's a very good guy to have in the red zone as well.
Well, yeah. And historically, undersized receivers have just never worked out for the Patriots.
Yeah, right. You're going to need a ton out of Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry going forward. Like, a ton. You are going to be in two tight end sets constantly. And just to be able to feign the run, if even run the football. Like, it's just, you're going to be in a situation now where teams are going to be able to play light boxes. This is really bad for games like against the Buffalo Bills, who like to play light boxes as it is. They want to dare you to run the football, which the Patriots haven't been great at doing all year anyways, and now you can't even get a big receiver on the field to help run block, I think is a massive issue.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem, and on top of the absence of Matt Collins and him being on IR is certainly a big deal. You have no Kayshon Booty tonight. You have no Harold Landry. You have no Spillane. You have no Tonga. Jared Wilson's back out. Milton Williams, I thought, was supposed to be back by this game, but is not. And Pop Douglas is questionable, too. So you're looking at a potential, not just like, I mean, it's already like an avalanche of injuries, but you're looking now at a potential sort of reforming of like the defense in a lot of ways. Spillane is out. Williams has been out. Landry's your best pass rusher. Like, these are your guys that have had central roles in this defense, and it's a defense that even with them in it has been kind of shaky here down the stretch. Like, I was watching the Broncos, and I feel like they're kind of the inverse of the Patriots. Like, the Patriots, you really trust Drake May, and you trust him to run the offense. And the defense is kind of shaky, but they're usually good enough. I feel like the Broncos are the opposite of that. Like, you trust that defense, you trust that pass rush, and the guys in the secondary, and Bo Nix is just good enough to, like, mm-hmm, win a lot of those games. And I feel like the Patriots are the opposite of that, and I'm not totally sure which one's better. I prefer the quarterback, but I feel like having a defense that you can rely on in the playoffs is just huge.
I'd also prefer the quarterback if we're talking about somebody who's been there several times before. And so there's just unknowns with your offense, not just with Drake May, but there's just a lot of guys basically outside of maybe Hunter Henry and Stephon Diggs now, if you're looking at who's healthy, who, like, you're just like, okay, well, I hope you hold it together in the playoffs. Like, I hope, I project based on what I've seen this season that this is who you'll be, but we don't really know. We haven't seen them there.
Yeah, have they elevated another wide receiver? Because active for today's game will probably only be Kyle Williams, Stephon Diggs, Efton Chisholm. I see, like, Jalen Hurd is technically on the roster. I don't know if he's practice squad, if they've even elevated him, what the deal is there, but your receiver room is unbelievably thin for this game tonight.
We have an important update. Stephon Diggs is walking into MetLife with a muff on his hands.
With a what now?
A muff. You know, like one of those things, like it's like a big fuzzy
it's Cardi Bino
thing muff. That you put your hands into.
No fingers.
In the olden
just
days.
No fingers, right?
Just like in the Victorian
just
days.
One of thumb.
You mean like, and it's by Chanel.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
So this is the look. I'll show I'm sorry, this is an audio platform, but you guys need to Google this look.
I see.
Okay.
Because
Yeah.
It's winter wonderland. Oh, okay. I'm giving him
Tom Brady used to have one of those, you know.
Yeah, like, but it was, right. I think it was the Louis Vuitton.
But this is a fashion one, so I'm giving him at least 80 yards today.
80 yards for Diggs. All right, lock it up right there.
Well, he's got
all
a lot of he's got a lot of incentives that he needs to get. So
that's true.
I'm guessing the ball goes to him a lot.
Well, he got the ball a lot last week, Ted. I mean, you know, against Baltimore, he was out there making those catches, and I was listening very close to you all week long about that.
They need to win the game. So they have
now that they don't.
Yep, he's going to go back to getting less. Just watch how it all ends up. Is all
you know what? Like, I hate the reality of that if that's what's happening, but I love your conspiracy theory.
Yep, it's a good theory. Because it's happened before, so it's not a stretch to think it would happen again.
All right, Shime and Mego, how are these playoffs lining up for this team?
Well, I'll start because I know Shime is a little bit on the sunnier side of the street.
Yeah.
I believe
two sides of the coin.
For me, it's just a warning call that I think that the Patriots need to do everything within their control to avoid the wild card round. We went into this season saying if they like flirt with the playoffs and they're in the wild card round, what a tremendous win for Mike Vrabel in his first year. Expectations change as the season goes on. And for this team to make noise in the playoffs, I just like you look at the teams in the wild card round right now. You watched them last night with Bills, Texans, Chargers. Those are like the only quarterbacks who I don't want to face in the playoffs. And I just think that everything in terms of the rest of the schedule for the Patriots, they should be able to control their own destiny in that sense. Then it comes down to what the Broncos do against the Chargers if you can get the number one seed overall. But the very bare minimum is you have to take care of business against the Jets in Miami for yourself.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of shaping up. I think this is shaping up quite nicely for you because at this point, you're either going to be the one or the two seed for the most likely, right? You're either going to be one or two, most likely number two. And in that scenario, you're drawing the LA Chargers in round one. There isn't another team in the playoffs that I would rather draw in round one than the LA Chargers. I don't want to see the Texans defense. I don't want to see Josh Allen, and you're not going to get the Jaguars or the Steelers anyways. So like to me, this is kind of ideal scenario for teams you're going to draw in round one of the playoffs, which also means that there's a chance you get LA and then Jacksonville, both of which have to come into outdoors, cold environments in New England to play playoff games. I love that for the New England Patriots. I understand that it would be better to have the number one seed and get that week off and rest for guys. But in the situation that you're in currently, that's probably unlikely. And so to be the number two seed and be able to think that you're going to welcome in two warm weather teams like the Chargers and the Jaguars, who the Chargers chargered all over themselves in that game against the Texans yesterday, which is tremendous to see, knowing that they'd have to come outside in the cold to play against the Patriots. And then I have no faith that Trevor Lawrence is going to be any good in New England in a playoff game. So I feel very good about where the Patriots currently stand with the playoffs.
Assuming that Houston overtakes Jacksonville.
No, because like assuming Jacksonville wins the division and Houston finishes as the sixth seed, right, and the Chargers were to finish as the seventh seed,
sure,
you get the Chargers, and I'm saying in the second round.
In the second round with Jacksonville, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were like talking about if Houston won the division and Jacksonville was dropped down, you played them in the first round. Because I was thinking like, you know, wild card. You know how many times, by the way, the Patriots made a Super Bowl?
Zero.
When they played on wild card weekend? Ted already knew this.
Or 85 since
85. Zero times since 85.
This is like our camp's favorite stat of all time.
But
I've heard him say it so many times.
It was when there was two.
Exactly. That's in a generation where there were two byes.
Right.
So like at this point, there's only one. And also, quarterback is very different as well. So
I don't think any of
I guess everyone knew my special stat then. Huh? All right, great.
But, I don't have to throw water on that.
I know, but it's true. And it is different now, and that obviously makes a big difference with it. You bring up the two teams that I would most like this team to face. And I think that when you compare them, contrast them against Buffalo and Houston, it's really haves and have nots here. I mean, those are two teams you don't want to see at all. And Jacksonville and or LA, either one of those two teams, I'd be perfectly fine with the Patriots seeing in the first or second round. If you can get both of those teams, That's a beautiful path to the Super Bowl. I mean,
exactly.
It really is.
Then at the minimum, like, you only have to go to Detroit or to Denver in an AFC Championship game. You only have to worry about facing Josh Allen.
You only have to go to Denver in an AFC Championship game? I don't think that that's a great situation for you.
No, it's not the best, but at the same time, you're in an AFC Championship game
Denver
in a season
might,
you didn't even expect to come
Denver
close
to. Might be the only team that maintains home field advantage. Because of their location.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time...
I just wouldn't yada yada past that. Like, hey, how great, you're going to Denver for the AFC Championship. I think a lot of guys would be like, well, that sucks.
Well, I mean, what's the other scenario?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you don't sit there and be like, oh, that lines up perfectly for you. That's a tough
I think I'd rather the Patriots play the Broncos in Denver than go to Houston, than host against Houston or Buffalo.
Exactly.
Honestly, like I'm much more scared.
Of those
if
you've watched the Broncos the last couple of weeks, you can score on that defense. Yes, they get pressure, and yes, they're pretty good, but like they are very susceptible to allowing points. These offenses that get in there with good quarterbacks can score on the Denver Broncos in their home. Like it's not. You saw Trevor Lawrence throw, what, 5 touchdowns against them? Or
Jacksonville
have 5 total touchdowns?
Them. Like, that's what's stuck in my head. Like, I'm not scared of Denver right now.
No.
I'm just not.
I'm not scared of Bo Nix.
I'm scared of
Josh Allen. I agree
with that completely. But if you look at what happened with the Patriots against Buffalo, like, it wasn't that they had issues scoring on that defense. We saw what happened in the first half.
Their defense
had no answer for what Josh Allen was able to do. And if Sean Payton is able to scheme something up against you, and they have home field advantage.
Yeah, but
I don't think that that's like some ideal scenario.
Yeah, I guess, but I just looking at the AFC, like that's the best path in my opinion is hosting the Chargers, hosting the Jaguars, going to Denver. Like that to me is the best path available to you. And so like unless somehow Pittsburgh finagles their way to an AFC Championship game, outside of that,
that would
happening.
Be- hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
It would be fun.
Especially for like, your show.
Oh my God, that would be tremendous. Tremendous content.
Yeah, certainly would be. All right, we're off and running here on a football Sunday with Arcan, Teddy, Scheim, and Mego. We got all the normal bells and whistles. Mego didn't go inside the locker room this week, so instead we will have a This Day in Patriots
History. Sorry, I took vacation.
I know. Hey, listen, we all have to at some point. We'll have They Said It at 11. No vacation there for Scheim. We will talk with Tom E. Curran. I don't know if we have Wiggy's Keys or not. I guess that's TBD. And of course, we got the top TED list and the Degenerate Gambling Hour coming up later on in the show, along with your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll get to some of those phone calls right after Chris Scheim here. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots are at the New York Jets today. Kickoff for that one is at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We had 2 Saturday games yesterday as the Texans beat the Chargers 20-16, and the Ravens absolutely beat down on the Packers 41-24. Derrick Henry ran the ball for 36 times, 216 yards, and 4 touchdowns in that game. Makes you think that it would have been a little bit different if they actually gave him the football more against the Patriots. In the 1 o'clock window today, light schedule today in the NFL. Not my favorite. In the 1 o'clock window, we've got Cardinals at Bengals, Steelers at Browns, Saints at Titans, and Seahawks at Panthers. In the 4 o'clock window, only 2 games. Giants at Raiders, Eagles at Bills. That's going to be the big one. Actually, both of these games are pretty big. The loser of that Giants-Raiders game should, in theory, have the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft, and the Eagles and Bills are both still fighting for their playoff positioning. On Sunday Night Football, we've got the Chicago Bears headed out to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20, and you can catch all of the action for that game right here on WEEI. In non-football news, the Boston Bruins have now lost 5, count them, 5 in a row, as they fell to the Sabres last night 4-1. Celtics are in Portland to take on the Trailblazers tonight. Tip-off is at 6. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Yeah.com.
Back here, it's Football Sunday. Arkin, Teddy, Shime, and Mego here. Taking you up until 1 o'clock. Patriots and the Jets kicking off. We got not a full slate of games, just because there's been so much football this week. But a good slate of games here, along with that one. This will be at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. We'll have more on that, including all the inactives. There's going to be a lot of them already that we know of here for the Patriots. So we'll see who is and isn't playing for the Jets, and we'll look around the rest of the NFL schedule as well and let you know for betting purposes, fantasy finals purposes, whatever it is that you need, who's going to be playing and who is not. Before we get to our secondary takes here, let's go to the phones. What do you say? We got some calls on the line. Let's hear from the people here at 617-779-7937. Real quick, a texter in the 508. Did Mego say small wide receivers don't work in New England? Ever heard of Welker or Edelman?
What?
Or Troy Brown or Deion Branch?
Excuse
or any number
me?
Of other ones. She was being sarcastic.
Yeah. Texter. Sorry. Sometimes I don't deliver that well.
A little bit of a...
I'm a little too, like, monotonous or dry in some of my humor, so...
Yes. Oscar Wilde over
here. That's me, truly.
yeah, a little jokey joke. All right, let's go to the phones. JP is in Providence. Hi, JP.
Good morning. Mega, was he wearing a Cam Newton fedora with that fur on his hand? Sounds like Stefan Urkel walking in
actually,
the building.
Actually, Stefan and I mean, I wish we were on video right now because we're kind of matching.
I know,
I'm wearing
the fuzzy
this
Patagonia
big, fuzzy right? white shirt, and I feel like, you know, we're simpatico.
Boston Sports Beauty, TV Central, get that show going. Terrible Ted, two quick questions.
Yeah.
As a linebacker, how would you stop a downhill runner like Derrick Henry in the playoffs in the cold weather? Is there a way to stop him? And when Will Campbell comes back, because it's more of a strength position, is it easier for him to be game ready when he comes back? Or is it still he's got to get into game shape, you know, breathing, stamina, and all that? Because that's where Denver concerns me, because it is hard to breathe and play up there.
I'll answer the second one first. Will Campbell, you know, I do worry about his conditioning a little bit. Why? Because it was an MCL sprain. And if you guys know anything about the MCL sprain, it's moving laterally, which is what Will Campbell needs to do more than he needs to run vertically. Mm-hmm. So I do worry about that to some degree. You know, but he is fourth overall pick. They can do things to help him. But that's interesting because of the actual type of injury he got, I could see conditioning actually playing a role in him coming back. So because he just – you cannot move laterally when you have his injury. So and that's the most important thing he has to do, not running straight. And that's Will Campbell. The first one, what would I do to stop a guy like Derrick Henry?
Hope the coach benches him in the final part of the game. By the
or,
way,
seriously.
Or at this point, hope he's not in the playoffs.
Right, that too. And did you notice that running back rotation went out the window yesterday?
Yeah, I thought that was
weird. He just kept handing off to Derrick Henry instead of the backup.
Yeah. Some like holy trinity that they had to keep there.
That was interesting. Anyway, sorry, Tech.
Yeah. I do love those cheese grater hats they have. Yeah. Those are good.
Those are cool.
What I would, so you heard Vrabel always referencing the wall, build a wall. They don't have a wall that they build to stop these running backs, particularly a guy like Derrick Henry. What I would do is I line up them inside linebackers closer to the line of scrimmage. I would line them up so that they literally had to run just 2 yards to get to the guards that would come up to them. So you have the guards a lot of times that are unblocked or the tackles that are unblocked, and they come up to the second line. And those linebackers, they don't play downhill. And so there's a gap, there's leaks, there's creases in there and in the wall. So you want to have a wall of guys. You could put take out two middle linebackers, put two defensive linemen in there, but then they pass on you. So you need to have those middle linebackers in there in case they pass. Put them closer to the line of scrimmage, or you blitz run them, or you send the middle linebacker. They do that a lot with Jelani Tavai. You blitz them more so that they time it up. They hit the line of scrimmage right at the snap, and hopefully they get penetration, can mess up the play that way. Or another thing you could maybe do is go to a two-gap style, but I just don't think they have the personnel to do that. It's really about toughness more than anything, and about getting these guys, these middle linebackers, to play downhill, which they don't. So that's not an easy solution to that question there.
Going to be tough for them to deal with Brady Cook today. And the New York Jets. Is Cook playing, by the way? Is he starting? Do we know?
I believe so.
Okay, because he threw, I think, like 40 passes for about 110 yards last week.
Nice.
Against the Saints, which was, I mean, the Saints demolished the Jets last week. And the Patriots are a lot better than the Saints. You know, like, I sort of look at this Jets team, a team that has been really not that anybody expected anything from them this year, but they've been even worse than I think people expected. That was a really tough one last week, a very tough loss for them, an embarrassing loss. A team that just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about this the first time the Patriots played them, just a couple of years ago, it seemed like the Jets were on top of the world, didn't it? You know, they had the two, the offensive and the defensive rookies of the year on the same team, and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, a couple years later and that whole thing is just collapsed inward on itself like the Jets always seem to do. So, should be an easy one here for this team this afternoon, just in terms of what they're going up against and what they have to face on that offense, that Jets offense. It's Breece Hall, and that's it.
We have further developments.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is also wearing leather pants zebra shoes.
Yeah, the zebra shoes are kind of nice.
I mean, the leather pants are kind of nice. Yeah.
Can we?
We've upped it to 90 yards.
Can we just? There's something I want to. Can I address real quick about fashion? The muff that you call on. What is?
It's right? A muff hand warmer.
Hand warmer. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Give it some context. Sorry. The muff hand warmer he's wearing. When you have the logo printed that big on the.
Yes.
Is it cool after that? Like if
it's Chanel, it is probably. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like it's Gucci, not, Chanel.
Like if you're wearing Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and it's printed really big on the actual.
It's a flex.
It as cool? It's a huge flex.
It's a particular style. And it's not my particular style, mostly because I can't afford those brands, but I understand that that's a style. I more prefer the type of stuff where it's like, oh, you have no idea that it's that much.
Yeah. I mean, your Patagonia has a little bitty Patagonia right there. Yeah. You can see
but
your hair
Patagonia
covers it.
And Chanel are essentially same
thing, basically. Yeah.
It's still
we call
says
it the
something.
Chanel of the Pacific Northwest.
Tom Brady ever make like a muff, like a TB12 muff that you
Excuse me?
He should. If he
probably should. Let's go back to the phones. Jay is in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. Good show as always.
Thank you, Jay.
That Ravens game was a signature win for the Pats. I know they were missing Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but they did win Super Bowls, and they know how to win. And if the Patriots don't do well in the playoffs, they have without a doubt given us a great ride and hope for 2026. But, hey, Arkan, are you married?
Yes.
Well, when is your wife going to be canonized?
Canonized? Because she's a saint for putting up with me? I don't know. That's a great question, I would say, Jay.
But I'm dumb.
I'm part Irish. I'm part Irish, and I hold grudges. I remember you called me dummy last time I called in.
Oh, right. So I was joking, anyway. Jay. You know I love you. Come on.
I know you were. But the thing is, I'll tell you one thing in all seriousness, the greatest gift that a guy can be given on this earth is a woman who loves him. You guys have a good show.
That's true, man.
All right.
Thank you.
Life lessons.
Behind every great man is a great woman. Is that
true?
Or every behind good man is a great woman. Something like that. Yeah.
What do I get?
I don't know.
You got to ask your husband.
Yeah, you have to find out. You guys have to have that conversation on your own. All right, let's talk about this Ravens game and what it's. I mean, it's been a while now since that game was played.
They've
obviously,
played again.
It does seem like it was months and months ago. But for Drake May in particular, and I think that's probably the focus of the rest of this segment here. Drake May finally checked that box. He finally had a game-winning drive against a real team. You know, I know it was Snoop Huntley and everything. It's not like you were out there against Lamar Jackson, but
Snoop
that Ravens
played
defense,
well.
He did. I thought he played very well. And, you know, that was a full-on, here you go, kid, go win the game, and he did it. And I think that we'd all been waiting to see that. like miracle call that gifted him the drive or anything. It was all
actually
hit,
there
know?
Was a missed call that
there was a missed
took it away.
Was a missed call. That's true. And I know it was Stevenson ran for the touchdown. It's not like May you know threw some great pass or anything, but he did get them down the field and he did orchestrate that drive. And I think that was for a lot of people. For me, I don't know if it was the last box I needed to see checked off, but it was a big one. I mean, that was a big deal. Like if you don't have that pedigree, if you're a type of player who shrinks in those moments, even if you put up great numbers during the year in the regular season and other points in the game, that'll follow you. That'll become like a thing. And that seemed like maybe it was becoming a thing with Drake May. After the Buffalo game, he had all those chances, couldn't do anything, and then goes out there and gets the job done against
Baltimore.
Well,
it feels like our Sunday show talked about everything the Patriots needed to do in that Ravens game, and then they did it. Mego, great point by her, talked about the turnovers. They get two fumbles. Great turnovers by them. We talked about Drake May, the possible narrative that was going to linger that he just can't do anything in the fourth quarter, can't lead a comeback. What does he do? More than 10 points down, leads a comeback. So I think they did. They checked a lot of boxes in that game.
Also, granted, we are geniuses.
That's true. We know ball. We are ball knowers. That is our job. And I just think that they proved to a lot of people that they can like succeed in big moments, right? They can have those opportunities. They can chunk their way down the field. And then when Drake May needs it, throw a 50-yard dart to Kyle Williams for a touchdown. Like it is just, it's in their repertoire now. I'll use that word again because I know
so
you love
fancy.
It. So
get yourself a muff.
They can they can now make comebacks. So just be prepared for the New England Patriots in the playoffs.
I don't think it's a stretch to say what Jay said, that it's a signature win. I think nobody really thought, where they were 2-2 when they beat the Bills early in the season, that was a signature win. Everybody needed to see it done, against a quality opponent later in the season. And he needed a comeback win. So he definitely checked those boxes. I do like the fact that the Patriots defense worked all week long, every single day in turnover drills.
Mm-hmm.
That's they repped it because it just backs up what I always like to say is, that you practice something in practice, usually it happens in the game. And when you focus on it in a practice all week long, more than not, the pros figure out how to do it in the game, and they did it. I just hope they continue to practice that because I think that's going to be a key stat for this team going into the playoffs. So can you force turnovers? They weren't able to force turnovers hardly at all at the second part of the season. They forced two early in that game in the first half, and that was a big reason they won that game.
I totally agree with that. Going forward, can I throw a small turd in the punch bowl?
Oh boy, here we go.
A little rabbit poop in the punch bowl.
Yeah, just okay. Just a couple rabbit poops. Do we feel like the game has aged a little poorly as we come away from it because
of Derrick Henry scoring four touchdowns?
Yes, because they kind of handed it to you by strangely sitting Derrick Henry at the end of that game.
They definitely did kind of hand it to you, but you also
handed it to you.
You also had to take it, right? Like they didn't.
Yeah, you couldn't drop it when they handed it.
Yeah,
to you.
Exactly. They didn't.
But
just
should
give
we
you
give
the
them so much credit to say a signature win for not dropping it? This brings me back to something that Vrabel said when he took the job here, which is step one, we got to take advantage of bad football. That's what he did. He took advantage of 100%. A really bad coaching decision. So kudos to all of that and the execution on the field. But is calling it a signature win like going a little far? It's a signature win for Drake May. For the rest of the team, it seems like they got the job done.
Let me give you just a little bit more context. If you look at it in the context of they just came off of what a lot of people thought was a very disappointing loss to the Bills at home after they had a 21-point lead, does that maybe validate that win more? That a lot of people were surprised that they weren't more upset of that Buffalo loss, that their attitude was a little, disconcerting because it wasn't,
they didn't think it
out.
Was the end of the world.
Correct. And they validated that behavior by going out and winning on the road to a playoff, kind of proven team.
Down two scores in the fourth quarter. Like, that's huge. That's a big deal. Yeah.
Factor all
guys,
that
I'm just
in.
I just threw a little rabbit poop
boom,
in. I'm
boom,
just
Mago,
asking
boom.
The question.
How can you be so pessimistic?
It's Christmas not pessimistic.
Time.
It already happened. I just, everybody was, I was excited about it. I was like, wow, they
so
really
negative.
Needed that fourth quarter. That's a big deal. But at the same time,
but if Derrick Henry played in that fourth quarter, then you may be looking at two straight losses at the worst possible time and all these injuries and everything else. I mean,
had
come on.
Such a boneheaded coaching decision on the other side. The Patriots feasted on those kinds of mistakes for decades.
So just look at the offense. It's one of the lowest scoring offenses in the fourth quarter. I think they're ranked 30th or 39th.
They've been bad.
They have like a historic number of fourth quarter blown leads.
The Patriots, Drake May was 12 of 14, 139 yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
That's what I said. His signature for Drake May. For the rest of the team, I would say more character. It's a character win.
That's
to your point, Ted, like coming off that second half, that could have been brutal. It could have hung over them. It could have been like, oh, and we got all these injuries. They had a lot of reasons that they could have looked at it and been like,
people would look at this team so differently if they lost that game going into the playoffs. And that might have trickled down into the players. That could have maybe made them look at themselves a little differently. Players listen to all that stuff. It kind of subconsciously seeps into their subconscious. So I just think that if they would have lost that game, it would have been bigger than we even really would have thought.
If they lost that game, you know what I was to be talking about all week and still be talking about? That fake punt.
That's all I would be talking about.
What the hell is that?
We didn't get a fake punt explanation until 2 days later, because they didn't hold media availability.
And what was the explanation? I didn't think it was that.
It was just we're aggressive and we practice it a lot.
But the issue is that you telegraphed earlier in the game that you were going to do it. Like Collinsworth even called it out. He's like, I think they were probably going to try and fake punt here. They didn't like the look, so they're going to take the delay of game and then punt it away. You telegraphed to the other team you wanted to try and run it and then did it anyway.
That was the biggest issue that pissed me off. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? They've proven that they're aggressive all year long by going for it on fourth down. They didn't need to
prove just throw Drake May out there.
You don't need to
run some stupid fake punt with Marte Mapu. I'm way more confident Drake May is going to pick up 10 yards than some stupid fake punt.
I learned a lot about Marte Mapu through that, though.
Talk about cute plays. Yeah. Mike,
I know. Yeah.
Calling Josh's the double pass a cute play. That was a stupid cute play. Stupid.
Mapu running, and then when he looked for his first receiver and he wasn't there, he was like, oh no.
There was no backup plan.
He was literally
double teamed. I mean, they were ready for
they
it.
They knew exactly what was coming.
You shifted your formation in an earlier punt that signaled to them, hey, watch the fake punt.
It was like when you play hide and seek with a toddler and like their butt is sticking out behind a curtain and you're like, oh wow, where are they?
Ready or not, here I come. Yeah, so luckily they were able to come back and win that game, because I agree with everybody who says that if they had lost, then we'd be having very different conversations about this team. The Ravens would be looming large here as a potential playoff team that you'd be going up against maybe at some point.
One more point. Sorry, Christian, I'm interrupting you. My apologies.
That's all right. I wasn't going anywhere.
By the end of the game, there was probably 12 players that were injured. They missed the game or they went out. So add that into the mix of why it's an impressive win, and you got that.
I have a question for Conspiracy Ted. Conspiracy Ted, why haven't we gotten the video of Steph Diggs running out the back of the blue tent yet? We heard on the broadcast that Steph Diggs ran out of the back of the blue tent because he was like, I don't have a head injury. Yeah. It was my shoulder.
Why would you think he was running out?
What do you mean?
Because he wanted to get those incentives.
Well, okay. No.
My man.
My question is, why do we have no video of that, of him sneaking out the back? There's nobody. There's like 100 people directly in front of him with cameras.
It's amazing how that story just went right under the rug. It's I don't think people care about that issue anymore. I really don't.
I more just want it for the GIF. Like, it'd be hilarious, him just sneaking out of the tent.
Him sneaking out.
I gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, I don't know. I think there was Henderson with the concussion too, right? I mean, he's playing in it.
Yeah.
Yes. We think,
he's good.
Yeah. I think you're right about that too, Ted. I think that's become less of a big deal. I don't know why exactly. I have a weird theory. You want to hear my weird theory?
Yeah. Just so people understand, what is the thing we're talking about is concussions.
Why that's suddenly now taking a back seat. And this is a weird conspiracy. It's not even a conspiracy. It's just a theory. Damar Hamlin, when he died on the field, everyone's like, concussions. Who cares? Like this guy almost lost his life. Like that was a big, serious, life-threatening thing that we all watched at the same time. And I think it made everybody kind of just forget about concussions for a couple years. Because I feel like that hasn't been, since that happened, I feel like no one talks about concussions anymore.
Oh, I think people talk about concussions all the time, but it's only with specific players. It's primarily just quarterbacks that they care about. Jackson Dart goes to the blue tent every other game. And he even said, he's like, there's a sensitivity to the way I play football. Like, and I think to a degree he's right. Like, there is a sensitivity from the NFL for quarterbacks who take hits to the head. Like that, and I think that's just kind of it. I think
other
players,
it's bad for business.
Yeah, sure.
In every sense of it.
I mean, you're getting Brady Cook starting games.
That's a gross way to say it because you want to care about players' health, but that's the way the NFL looks at it.
Well, yeah, that's why they did away with the old form of the kickoff because it got players hurt. And they're trying to find a way to make the kickoff play. Yeah, exactly.
Slowly. But next year we'll have the wedge again.
So the only thing I would say to that theory, Arcan, is
to my awesome theory that no one agreed with.
Well, no, I don't disagree with it. I just think the overwhelming trend is probably that concussions were front and center for 5 or 6 years. And it looked like maybe this would be a real threat to the game of football overall at every level, because then you have moms saying, I don't want my kid playing in Pop Warner and whatever else. And then you realize the NFL is bigger than ever and eats everything, and college football in other parts of the country is huge as well. So it's actually not that big of a deal from a business perspective.
And they did have to pay $700 million out to all those ex-players, but you're right. I mean, it just did, you know.
Paid it out, just so
Well,
you know.
Okay, they were asked by a judge to pay it out.
And getting interest, yeah.
Haven't actually done it yet. Okay, no. There you go. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. What we normally do at 10:45 is Mego goes inside the locker room, but since we had our vacation week, no locker room today. Instead, we will have this day in Patriots history, 3 games this time of year, all pretty recently, since we'll start in 2007 and go from there, and remind you of some pretty interesting games and interesting moments at certain crossroads in the season, including what could be this one here against the Jets. That's coming up next here on Football.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sunday.
I think that it would be it would mean a lot. One, it's a division game on the road, a chance to go 8-0, undefeated on the road, and you know, we know how difficult that is, so that's something that, again, we are focused on, and it won't be easy, but it's all the things that we've done previously that have helped us win, and how you have to play and how you have to take care of the ball and handle the road environment and all those things that it takes to be able to win and get some turnovers. And so hopefully we can continue to do that. And again, nothing's guaranteed, and you have to go over there and you have to prove it. You have to play.
Mike Vrabel. Getting ready for this matchup here with the New York Jets. Patriots with a chance to go undefeated on the road this season with a win here today at MetLife Stadium. It's Football Sunday here on WEEI. Christian Arcan, Ted Johnson, Scheim, and Mego. We got Jackson back there behind the glass. Real quick, texter in the 978 says, Arcan, are you serious? There's more looks on concussions now than ever. You say some stupid things on occasion. The second part of that I agree with. But the first part of that, I don't think so. I think concussions, first of all, I think are way down. Based in part because of the rule changes over the years, the new helmets, the new kickoffs and all of that. But I just don't feel like people are talking about it as much. I just don't think that there's the same kind of dialogue. Certainly over the last decade, that we've had. I just don't think that it's nearly as intense or as high profile of a concern as it used to be. I think that's obvious. I don't think there's anybody would argue otherwise. No? Am I crazy in saying that?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. I think concussions is very much still a big deal, and the NFL pretends to care about them quite a bit.
I feel like the NFL pretended a lot more before. I don't feel like they pretended.
Well, this isn't concussion specific. Sorry, Chad.
No,
you finish.
Yeah, maybe that it feels that way, Arkan, because it was an all-time high with what happened with Tua.
Maybe it's still pretty bad.
I got to jump in on the Tua. But you realize he didn't miss any time,
right?
Initially.
They made a big deal about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not the
Who's
NFL they? Actually caring.
Because I don't think the league made a big deal about it. I think media covering media the league did, yeah. made a big deal
can,
about
can
it.
Can I just, I got to get this point off my chest is, unfortunately, the only way the NFL is going to care about it is if the fans care about it. That's the only way concussions will ever really have an impact, I think, a big impact on the NFL is if fans start caring. Two things. Fans start caring, and they say, you know what? If you're going to play this guy before he's ready to come back, I'm not going to watch, which was never going to happen. And the other one is you give guaranteed contracts to players. If you don't give guaranteed contracts to players, you realize, like, say Steph Diggs, he has a $200,000 bonus for every game he plays in. So that basically encourages him not to report concussions or, when he goes through concussion testing, make sure he passes the concussion test. And so it would behoove guys to not report concussions. I got most of 95% of them without coaches ever knowing them, that I got one. So guys are not going to report them when they know that they have so much money attached to them. Until you make concussions guarantee, our contracts in the NFL guarantee contracts, like in baseball, like in basketball, like in the NHL, the concussion issue is never going to go away. Fans aren't going to care. The movie Concussion, phenomenal movie. No one ever watched it. No one really wants to
know. I watched it.
Okay, no true fan, the average fan, yeah, wants to watch a game in which they see players that they want to see out there getting hurt and having problems later in life. It just doesn't – fans don't want to watch that. And I kind of understand that.
Well, to that point, I wonder if you guys feel this way, because it was actually a discussion I was having over the weekend, or whatever day it is, over the holidays, about how it used to be on broadcasts. It's not just concussions, but if a player got injured, we saw it 20 times in the broadcast,
right,
from every angle. Here's how he went down. Here's where the collision point was. Now, they're like, we're not going to show that replay again. It's too rough. It's too brutal. And I do think, in a way, that's protective of the Shield, the league,
yeah,
saying fans 100%. Don't want to see these brutal injuries. They want to see the violence of the game. They want to see big hits. They want to see the physicality and the excitement of it. But when you see a guy's leg go the other way, at this point, you got to jump on the dark web, essentially Twitter, X as it is now, yeah, to see the replay, because the broadcasts go, it's a very brutal shot, we show it once, and then we're not doing it again.
I remember when Nick Chubb basically snapped his leg in that game a few years ago, they showed it like 70 times, a million times. Now they would never do that. They wouldn't even show the replay of that, but they'll plaster the hit on Jackson Dart everywhere, because it's a good, clean football hit, and they want to, you're right, incentivize the violence of the game, but not necessarily show you the trauma that may follow.
If we can just use a current player, for example, Travion Henderson. I thought he hurt his knee in the game last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he got up. Did you see him fall down?
Do you remember yeah, around he, when it was?
When he got the concussion.
Concussion. Okay. That's what we're talking about.
Right. And so he got up and he grabbed his knee, because I thought it was his knee that was then when they went to help him up.
Because he was trying to stabilize.
You thought like his leg
was trying to stabilize. Yeah. And I thought the whole time it was a knee injury.
Right.
When they told me a concussion, I'm like, he got knocked out.
Right.
Like, that is a serious concussion.
He didn't know what
but
he was.
But he's cleared to play in this week's game. If he had guaranteed contracts, I guarantee you he would not be playing in this game.
No,
because
it's in his interest to not play.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't have something tied to being in this game. Yeah.
Exactly.
Financially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, I didn't really plan on this becoming a big topic today, but it is something that I think, you know, there's players that are out
to gloss over if I can help it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's Patriots players right now. I mean, they're that are dealing with this. And I just the whole reason I even brought it up and that I even thought about it in the first place is just because
you didn't want to talk about it. You opened Pandora's box.
I know you just had. I hadn't been hearing the same amount about it. I know you disagree, Shai. I just feel like the dialogue around concussions has really tampered down. And maybe that's for reasons Mego's talking about or something else, protecting the shield or whatever. But I just feel like there's not that same kind of outrage. Like, it was outrage. That's sort of what fueled it, was fan outrage. You're right, Ted. Like, fans were outraged that this was happening, and the league wasn't doing anything about
it. I kind of feel like now the next step is just going to be the overall injuries that were sustained this year, and again, primarily because of the quarterbacks that were impacted.
Yeah.
And because that's the kind of thing that hurts the
league. High-profile quarterbacks are the biggest.
And maybe I'm just jaded by the preseason concussion discussion around Drake May, like, oh, you're gonna get this guy killed, he's gonna get a million concussions because he runs like crazy and all this stuff. And maybe that's why, Arcand, I feel like you and I are very much on opposite sides, because I was just jaded by that and hate all the people that were like, yeah, he's just gonna get concussions all over the place, and I called them all idiots.
But Shime, that was a necessary conversation to have, and something that Mike Vrabel has been very transparent about. They've changed how he plays.
He's at least had three or four already in his NFL career. In 2 years he's had probably four, would be my guess.
He's just learned to pop up, as he told us.
Yeah.
The most important thing to him is to pop back up like a toy.
And shake his head as if to say, I got a concussion.
Edelman has talked about this on his podcast. Like, him and Amendola had a pact that no matter how hard they got hit on a punt return, they would run over, pick the guy up, and you'd walk off the field like nothing happened, because you didn't want anybody to know that you may have possibly slightly maybe got concussed.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that I remember this year that was very, very out was Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah.
Gunnar Olszewski getting helped off the field. That's about it. I mean,
that,
like,
was tough
in Patriots games anyway. That was the one where everyone was aware of what just happened. Like, there was no guess or question about it.
He got directly in the helmet.
And I think that was the one that sparked some disgust in the moment
yeah,
from the audience.
Yeah, there was some from that,
Of disgust of, like, that's not right. Yeah. We shouldn't watch a guy
for a day or
do
two.
That.
It's true. All right. Well, that was a detour I wasn't planning on, but there we are. What we do have coming up next, though, is They Said It. Chris Scheim has everything everyone said all week, and we got it for you right after this.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.